Romans chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14 and read down to verse 19, if you'll follow with me, please. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14 through verse 19. Paul writing says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. May we pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your goodness and your mercy and your love, allowing us once again to be able to assemble as a New Testament Baptist church. We're thankful, first of all, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that went to Calvary and shed His blood for the remission of our sins. We're thankful for the gospel that came to us, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We're thankful for the saving of the soul and the saving of the life. We know, Lord, that we owe everything to You, and we recognize, even as this great truth is revealed in this passage of Scripture, even the faith which to believe or to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, Lord, we're thankful for the faith that You give us, enabling us that we might live for You. Now, Father, today, You're aware of each one of our needs. Every one of us are creatures that have been saved by Your marvelous grace. We're just sinners saved by grace, and each one of us has particular needs. You are always touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and we know that we can approach You through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can come boldly and we can find help in time of need. So, Father, I pray that You'd be pleased with the sacrifice of our lips, of our lives, of our time that we give You, of the tithe and all that belongs to You. Now, guide and direct and lead, and may it please You this morning to stir our hearts from the Word of God, even to the quickening of some dead sinner to life, bringing them to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. If you'll notice verse 17 with me, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to preach on the subject this morning, the just shall live by faith. There's various aspects that we have in the Word of God concerning our faith, and I naturally want to mention all three of these this morning. But when you analyze, or when you begin to study this portion of Scripture, you'll see that Paul starts off saying that, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then he makes this verse that we are all familiar with and we quote many times, when he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then he makes a statement about the gospel of Christ. He says, for it is the power of God, and notice it says, unto salvation. And then he says to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now all of us here this morning that are saved by the grace of God realize what Paul is speaking about here when he says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Every one of us this morning that have been saved by the grace of God have received the gospel. We have received the person of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is not only the Savior of our soul, but also the Savior of our life. And when he has in mind the gospel of Christ, he makes a statement here in verse 17. He said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now he's talking about the righteousness of God. Now that's what we need. That's what must and is revealed to us, is the righteousness of God. Now the righteousness of God was that which obeyed the precepts of God's Word and bore the penalty of the law in the stead of His people or every person that is ever saved. It is the righteousness of God by which that we are justified in the sight of God. We are not just, we know that. But we may not be just, but in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we have been justified and have received the righteousness of God, and even though that we are not just, we are justified. And I preached on that last Sunday or Sunday before last. It is called the righteousness of God because that it concerns Jehovah God. It concerns Jehovah the Son, and it concerns Jehovah the Holy Spirit. Now, Jehovah the Father sent His Son to work it out, and being wrought out, He approves and accepts it and imputes it to His elect people. The righteousness of God. That is Jehovah God. But Jehovah the Son is the author of it by His obedience and His death there at Calvary. And how that Jehovah the Holy Spirit makes it known, reveals unto us or makes it known to sinners, works faith in them to where that we can lay hold on it and where that we can receive it, and He pronounces the sentence of justification by it in our consciences and our minds. What we know this morning is this, that we are justified. And we know that what a glorious truth this is. Now, you'll notice what he has said here in this. He says, "For therein is the righteousness." For therein is the righteousness. And you've got to go back to what he is talking about. But then he said, "For therein is the righteousness," and said, "of God revealed." Now, who is the righteous one? Why, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the one that the gospel reveals? The Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel reveals His death, and the gospel reveals His burial, and the gospel reveals His resurrection. He reveals that to us, that He is the truth, that He is the life, that He is the resurrection, that He is righteousness. The gospel reveals this to us. So it's revealed in the gospel. Or it's taught in the gospel. I'm not going to turn there, but you're familiar, I know, with 1 Corinthians 15, and there in verse 1 through 4. And Paul talked about this. And of course, what we have is how that Christ died for our sins, how that He was buried for our sins, and how that He rose again for our sins. And he says then, what do you say? According to the Scriptures. According to the Word of God. And this is God revealing unto us the righteousness of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been imputed to us and that we have received. And I realize and know that it's made manifest through the preaching of the gospel. This righteousness is not known by the light of nature. This is not something that the natural man of himself can attain to or can know. It has to be revealed. And I believe the Word of God brings us out. The law of Moses didn't even reveal. But it has to be revealed, and it is revealed through the preaching of the gospel. It was hid in the Old Testament under the shadows of the ceremonial law and was only brought to light only by the gospel. You know, when Paul talked off, he said, of mysteries. We talked of mysteries. Now, God in the Old Testament revealed it to the ones He wanted to reveal it to. Even though there was the sacrifices and even though there was the time of the law. So it is hid from every natural man. And if you go on and read in the Word of God, even when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the first letter, it's hid even to the wise and the prudent. You can find the wisest people that there is on the face of earth and the most prudent people there is on the face of the earth, and this is one thing that's hid from them. They just can't see it. And they won't see it until God reveals it to them. And brother, I believe this is a wonderful and a glorious truth. And even here's what we must remember. Even it is even hid from God's elect before conversion. Now, not a one of us here that are saved this morning we had no idea of what this really was until God saved us by His marvelous grace and revealed unto us. What He revealed to you is what you need is the righteousness of God. And the only way that you can have the righteousness of God He revealed to us is that you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know this. It is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that is imputed to us at the moment that we are saved by the grace of God. That is imputed to us. It is even made known to believers when God, at God's time, when God gets ready, He reveals or He makes it known to them. Have you thought about it? When I, the Lord first called me to preach, and I started preaching, and my dad would go with me a lot, and I was just 16 years old, but my dad would go with me a lot, and Dad would always make this statement. He'd say, or sometimes maybe not only with me, but other places where the gospel preached, he said, there was enough gospel preached here tonight to save everybody here. Now, I don't know how much gospel that was, but anyway, you know, and I related to what he was saying, but the thing of it is, it has to be revealed. It has to be revealed. You can preach the gospel, and we are commissioned to preach the gospel. And that's our responsibility as a church and as individuals is to preach the gospel. The revealing is God. God does the revealing. What we're to do, we're commissioned to do the preaching, and we're commissioned to take the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. We're commissioned to take the gospel into all the world. And then God is the one that does the revealing. But then you'll notice here in this verse, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God. Notice it says, revealed from faith to faith. Now, this is interesting because the religious world and the world today believes that a person can just come to this, you know, that you can just get anybody to come to this. All you got to do is just sort of zap them and you can just get them to come to this. But you know, I know better. And the Word of God teaches better, and I hope that you know better. As a church. From faith to faith, from the faith of God to the faith of man, from the faith of preachers to the faith of hearers, from the faith of the old to the faith of the New Testament saints. Or rather, what he's saying is, from one degree of faith to another. And that is the way that God works. And I've thought about this. Now here it says from faith to faith. When Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, he said from glory to glory. And it's sort of like There it's sort of like from experience to experience. But it is an experience or a working of God that God brings. I realize and know that from one degree of faith to another. And then as faith, it grows and it increases and it becomes clear of this righteousness that's held forth by the gospel. Don't you rejoice more now in the righteousness of God than you did the moment that God saved you by His grace? He just revealed it to you. Or you thought you got a hold of a great thing, and you had. God had given you. God had given you. And I realize, and I know that Habakkuk makes a statement similar to this here when he said, "But the just shall live by his faith." And that is the faith that God has given us, that God has enabled us to have. And we to live by that faith. And I realize that many times in the Word of God it says that there's all just, it talks about some being of all like precious faith. See, there's only the one kind. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And so the just shall by his faith live for God. And so we see a just or a righteous man, of course, is not everybody that thinks themselves to be righteous. But it is that person that God has revealed or God has manifested to them. And many people today believe that it comes by just what you do. And you know, and all you do in this is just receive it. That's all you do is just receive it. Just receive what God has for you or that God gives to you, and it's revealed to you through the preaching of the gospel. And you think sometimes, you say, "Well, man, isn't this hard? I mean, isn't this a strange thing?" Have you ever thought about that just merely by preaching the gospel? And it's God's design. Just preaching how that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. By preaching the gospel, that God works upon men and women and boys and girls and enables them to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You think there has to be some magic formula or something that they got to do or go through some routine or something. And that's not the way it is. That's not the way that God designed for it to be. And so what we find is faith to faith. Now, what I want us to think about is basically three things. And what we want to begin with is the beginning of our faith. The beginning of our faith. When does our faith begin? Look in this verse that I read this last Sunday, I think it was, or sometime or other. Hebrews chapter 12. And you remember there when I read in verse 1 and verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. And notice with me what it says here in verse 2 especially is what I want you to notice. Now we're talking about the beginning of our faith. When did this faith that you have now, when did it begin? Look at verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus. Now here's what I want you to see. The author of our faith. Now I know what's "and" there in the middle, and I realize that's the completion of it. But looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith. So we see that He is the author. And if you have the faith of Jesus Christ, it began with Him. And it was given to you, and you received it. That's where it began. Sometimes people say, "Just have faith." Well, it's pretty hard for a person to have faith if they don't have any. As a matter of fact, it's impossible. It's impossible to have faith if faith hadn't been given to them, is what I'm saying. Galatians, when Paul was writing, and in Galatians chapter 2, and there in verse 16, Galatians 2 and verse 16, it says this. It says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." Now notice, if Jesus is the author of our faith, then it is the faith of Jesus Christ. It only becomes your faith when you receive it. And up until then, you don't have no faith. That is, this saving faith that we're talking about here, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, notice, and he makes a point, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So that's real plain to me, and I think to most of you it's real plain. The beginning of our faith. Now, my faith, the faith that I have myself, just of my own, won't get me nowhere. And I become so discouraged. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how far this thing's going to go, these preachers, but if it comes down to jail, it's going to take some faith, folks. And I'm not there yet. Brother Ellis said, he said, I really laughed about that fellow. He said, I'll come over and see you. But said, I got two letters. And he said, well, I got news for you, fellow. He said, I may be with you. And I'm talking about living by faith. And my faith wouldn't get me nowhere. But the faith of Jesus Christ would take you all away. And that's the faith. That's the beginning of our faith here. So if he is the author, then it's his faith to begin with. And it only becomes our faith when we receive it. Listen to verse 20. Or look at verse 20. Now, Pete 16 in mind, but look at 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but now notice. But Christ liveth in me. Now look real close. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that's the kind of faith that stands. That's the kind of faith that doesn't fail, and that's the kind of faith that doesn't falter, and the reason it doesn't is because it's the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's mine. And it's yours. And you have received it, or God has enabled you. So, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the faith which He is the author and object of, by which the just man lives, by faith on Christ the object, looking to Him for pardon and righteousness and peace and joy and comfort and every supply of grace and the eternal salvation, and the object is described as the Son of God. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad this morning to know that you have a faith that will not falter or fail? And here's the practical aspect. You know, we come to things in our life, all of us do. Everybody has different circumstances and things that happens to them. And sometimes we have similar things that, you know, we can relate to one another or talk to one another and say, well, this happened to me. You know, they're going through something. You say, well, now the same thing happened to me and how that the Lord took care of me. But, you know, if you'll remember well, in every circumstance that usually comes, the first thing that usually happens is the faith that we possess of our own fails. And what we do, we sort of push the panic button. And you know, we make all kinds of foolish statements, ridiculous statements. Well, I think I'll quit, or I think I'll do this, or I think I'll do that, or I think I'll do this. And then the faith of Jesus Christ, I hate to say kicks in, but I mean, it's sort of like he was in passing gear or something. But I mean, you know, the faith of Jesus Christ takes hold. That's why 1 Peter 1:5 says what it says. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God," but then he says, "through faith." And we know now that faith is the faith of Jesus Christ, which
which has been given to us and that we have received. And then he said, ready to be revealed in the last day. And so what we have now, if you'll look with me in the third chapter of Galatians, we looked in that second chapter, but if you'll look with me in the third chapter of Galatians, now, I believe that little do we realize how dependent we are, humanly speaking, many times, little do we realize how dependent we are upon the faith of Jesus Christ. We have received the faith of Jesus Christ, and every day we need to draw upon that and the resources of it. And Galatians 3 and verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He said that the promise of faith by Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. What we see is that Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith as well as the object of it. Now we must always keep this in mind. Therefore, here called the faith of Jesus Christ, and before Christ of faith came, or Christ the object of our faith, who was to come. Now comes the time of our receiving the faith of Jesus Christ. You remember, and what we say sometimes is, we say this, you remember when the Lord saved you? You remember when the Lord saved you? I'm not, you know, I just want you to think about this. Well, you say, well now, let's get some scripture on this. Go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and notice there, these are, and you know, we can quote these verses. Most of us can quote 2, 8, 9, and 10, and 5, and all these, but it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then notice the statement that's made. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then notice the statement. Notice the next statement. And that not of yourselves. Now that'll do away with this easy believism, decisionism, and that'll do away with all that stuff that we hear today so much of. It's so much foolishness that goes on in many Baptist churches. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What is it? It is a gift of God. And that's what it says. It is the gift of God. And say, hey, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained, that we should walk in them. So what we have is, we have the faith of Jesus Christ, and that's what men and women and boys and girls need. And it comes by the grace of God. It is a spiritual salvation, a salvation that was obtained and worked out and wrought by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it is brought to us and applied by the Holy Spirit. And you don't get it any other way. It don't come any other way, folks. And you don't get it any other way. And then, it doesn't stop there, then you have a full enjoyment of it, and that full enjoyment you have of it is by faith. Now you can be saved by the grace of God and be miserable as all get out. But when you are, when you're that way, when I'm that way, when you're that way, we're not trusting the Lord. We're walking in our own way. We're not walking in the Spirit. We're walking in the flesh. You know, you're going to be saved by the grace of God and be so miserable. But I tell you, the full enjoyment of being saved by the grace of God is, of course, by the faith of Jesus Christ that we have received and that we have. Through faith and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And you know, and I always think of this verse, don't you, Romans 10:17. Now, we take the initial beginning, and it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But see, that faith keeps on, in a sense, coming to us. It's not that we have more faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that has been given to us, it's ours. But we lay hold on it, and we lay claim to it, as the Word of God is preached. There's a sense in which there is the... It's real, but there's a sense in which it's made clear or made plain to us. You know, there's been times that I've been down and out, and then I got under the preaching of the Word, or I got in church under the preaching of the Word, and the faith of Jesus Christ within me revived. And I became... I went in weak and came out strong. You know, because, and it was simply because that I was under the preaching of the Word of God. And so we see that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's a way or means, the instrument which God has appointed for us receiving and enjoying it. Nobody's ever saved apart from the Word of God. And you, with the Word of God, you keep enjoying then, after you are saved, you keep enjoying your salvation. And your salvation is such a blessing when you are sitting on the Word of God. And the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes it. And so we find, therefore, salvation through faith is consistent with salvation by grace, since that faith is of grace. And it lies entirely in receiving grace, and it gives all glory to the grace of God. So there's the receiving. But then there, and you know all of us, and I said often, and it's a wonderful thing to have an experience of grace that you know, you're glad and tell about. And many times we do it in such a, many times before we know better, not where we ever do know better, but we sort of put so much humanism in it, you know, that, you know, I this and I that, and you know, this and this, and we all do that to a certain degree. And it's a wonderful thing for people to give a word of testimony about when the Lord saved them. And you know, we'll say, well, I was so over so and so, and I live such and such a place, and I had never heard the gospel, or this had never happened, and I was just in this condition or that condition. And then God in His marvelous grace came along and saved me by His grace, and I received the faith of Jesus Christ. But that's only the beginning. See, that's just the receiving of it. That's just the beginning. The second thing is the trial of that faith. The trial of it. Go to 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, and there in verse 7, and you'll see, now. Now he words this like that. See, we have received the faith of Jesus Christ, and when we did, it became ours. It's mine. Now look what he says here in 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith. Now I think we understand that he said, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher say this one time, and I could relate to it. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we, when people will give their honest experience, we sort of, it sort of makes us a little nervous, and we become reluctant, and we say, well, how could a person do such a thing? And when maybe we've had the same thoughts and ideas, but we just won't reveal it. And I heard this preacher say one time, he said, well, said, my daughter was getting involved with this man that I didn't want her to marry. And said, and you know how that can be, if you've got daughters or sons, and said, you know, and I wanted her to marry somebody that was saved, and somebody, you know, that loved the Lord, and you know, like this, and said, that thing really got a hold of me. And said, then I found out that another family got involved trying to promote it, and even encourage it, and even advance it to where they could go get married. And he said, I had some bad feelings. And he said, and you know how the flesh can, you know what the flesh can do to you. And brother, don't tell me you've never had no bad feelings. I know you're a sinner saved by grace. But he said, I got to the place where I was almost going to do something drastic. And then he said, you know what happened? The faith of Jesus Christ went to work. And said the faith of Jesus Christ went to work and convicted, said, well, you're thinking wrong. And what you're going to do is wrong. And he said, really, the faith that Jesus Christ had given to me is what really saved me from probably ruining my life and their life too. But the faith of Jesus Christ came in. Brother, the trial of your faith. The trying of your faith, or the trial of your faith. And I realize here the principal end which God has in afflictive providences is to try the faith of His people. Well, when nothing's wrong, you don't have to have much faith. Now, I realize you need faith at all times. I know that. And you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, when everything's going good and there's no bad circumstances and nothing wrong, but what about when your mate dies? What about when your child's sick? What about when your child's been hurt? Or what about when you lost all you have? What about when you have nothing? What about when you're afflicted with something and you can't get rid of it? What's the only thing that'll bring you through that? And what is it? It's the trial of your faith. If we're saved by the grace of God, these things come in all of our lives, and it's the trial of our faith. So God has afflictive providences. That's what they are. They're afflictive providences. And therefore the purpose to try the faith of His people. Sometimes I look in some of your lives and things you go through, and I get to thinking sometimes, and I say this, I don't believe they can go through much more. Now that's what I think. You know, there's been times I've thought that about myself. You know, I don't think I can go through much more. But I see things in your lives, and things are coming, and I think, I think to myself, I don't see how they can go through much more. And you know, the thing that happens many times is, it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And it is a trial. It isn't anything to do with you not being saved. You're saved by the grace of God. And you have the faith of Jesus Christ. But what's happening to us many times is, we're being tested and we're being tried. And I'll tell you one thing, the faith of Jesus Christ never fails. It never falters. Boy, I fall out by the wayside a lot of times. How many times have I come in my ministry and time through the years and still perhaps maybe face this? You know, I'm not exempt from these things, and I realize this. And you know, and about the time, you know, you think you've got it all wrapped up, it all falls apart. About the time you think you've got all your kids raised and everything, you have other things that happen, you know. And other things that comes. And it's a constant thing. And it's a God. But what does it do? It makes us cry out. It makes us cry out to the Lord. It makes us search out the Lord. It makes us search out His Word. It makes us pray. It makes us weep. It makes us mourn. It makes us reach out to our Christian friends. And that's what it does. The faith of both the Old Testament and New Testament saints have been tried, and it is more precious than gold that perisheth. The grace of faith is more precious than gold. Now, gold perishes by using, but faith just grows stronger by using. By relying upon the penny, faith is so valuable it cannot be obtained by gold. And Peter talks about it. And those that have faith, although poor in this world, are rich and are heirs of a kingdom. I thought about this verse, and what a very wonderful verse it is. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Now notice, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so what we see is that here we find that how we ought to thank God and these graces that He's given us, and it's tried for this purpose, that it might be found to His praise, His honor, and His glory. How many times in my life have I been so ashamed of what I've said, how I've reacted, and what I've done? And then I had to admit
And I realize the trial may be severe, but the verse that I just quoted earlier, verse 5, who are, and I underline this, who are kept by the power of God, and I underline through faith. And he says, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last term. But then, you know, I don't know when it was last year or sometime or other, I preached a message on this whole subject of receiving the end of your faith. And that's the third aspect. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher. He's the one, the beginning of our faith. And then we have it now while we live. But there is going to come a time that we're going to receive the end of it. And that's verse 9. It says this, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. God has appointed His people to this from all eternity. This is obtained for them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've said so many times, it's applied to us by the Holy Spirit. And this salvation will be fully enjoyed in heaven. Now, it costs something, folks. You say, well, my salvation didn't cost anything. Well, look at verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your fathers, but notice, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, we're going to enjoy this throughout glory. Now, we ought to enjoy it now. We ought to make the most. I thought about many of us. Now, this may be true of all of us if the Lord's coming, which I believe is very close. But many of us perhaps are right down to the end of our journey. Have you ever thought about what would your thoughts be, or what would you say if today is the day that the Lord called you home? Well, you know, I'm thankful for what God has done for me and what He's let me be able to do for His honor and glory and praise. And if I never have another day to live but today, I have no regrets. And how thankful I am. And you know, some of us may be right there. Some of you sitting here this morning, this may be the last day we'll ever live on this earth. Aren't you glad for this great truth? The just shall. Now notice it says, shall. You say, well, what if they don't? They will. Because see, what happens when you fail, then that's when the faith of Jesus Christ comes into picture. The just shall live by faith. And what a glorious truth it is. I believe that the means of enjoying the comfort of it in faith will have its end, and faith will have its scope. And it's going to be a time when it will no longer be faith. But it will be sight. The object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're not with Him now. So faith has its end, and it looks for, it wants and desires the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the end of faith is sight. And what a day that'll be! For when Paul said in Titus chapter 2, and listen to these words, and it sort of puts you in the right spirit and the right tone for this, where he says, in Titus chapter 2, and listen here to verse 13, what he says. He says in this writing, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, now notice, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. What a day that'll be. The tremendous change. There's the beginning of our faith, which is the righteousness of God revealed. There's the trial of our faith, which is the righteousness of God revealed. There is the end of our faith, which is the righteousness of God revealed. So our life is from faith to faith. And it's going to all end when we see our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, we pray it might please God that He would open your heart and grant to you repentance and faith. And brother, when He does that, what you'll do, you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll receive the faith of Jesus Christ. We're going to stand and sing a hymn in closing. If the Lord's speaking to you, then this church invites you to come as we stand and sing. What number, Brother Bobby?